Welcome to the IVM Podcast Network.
This podcast is an IVM production, and you can also check out their other awesome shows like Geek Fruit, a show with fellow and television geeks Tejas, Jishnu, and Dinkar as they discuss the world of science, fiction, and nerd culture.
You're listening to the Drinks and Destinations podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Drinks and Destinations podcast. I'm Samira and we have Rajita with us in the studio. And once again, we are back with a power-packed episode. Right, Rajita?
Yes, absolutely. And because we are going to talk about a very interesting event that's going to take place in India and all across the world.
Exactly.
In fact. And so it's going to be quite exciting. What are we talking about today?
Well, we are talking about the Negroni Week, and an entire week which is going to be celebrating various kind of cocktails in India and around the world.
And so, made of Campari.
Made of Campari. So yes, we'll be talking about that. And we have good news about it, right?
Yes, and because we are the official podcast partner this year for the Negroni Week India, it's going to be very exciting for us because there are a lot of bars and restaurants across the country who have taken part in this Negroni Week celebration, and we are going to be there everywhere in all the bars and restaurants. But besides that, on 5th of June, which is today, we are going to have a big celebration and opening of the Negroni Week party at Raspberry Rhinoceros in Juhu.
Absolutely. And for everyone in Bombay who's looking to do something exciting on June 5th, this is something you can look forward to. And I know what you will be doing, Rajita, on June 5th. Guys, she'll be getting you drunk because she'll be making some very special cocktails, right?
Yes. So, you know, Asprey Spirits, which is the importer of Campari in the country, they approached me and said that we are looking at doing a different event this year. We want to have a tie-up between an influencer and a bartender, and who are going to create some exciting cocktails,
right.
Negronis with a twist.
Ooh.
So that's what we're going to do at
exactly.
Raspberry Rhinoceros. I am going to be making some cocktails with Nitin Tiwari, who's a very celebrated bartender, well known for his, you know, work in Rick's Bar and, you know, Toast and Tonic and like in a lot of other places all across the country. And now he is heading Raspberry Rhinoceros. So
which is currently like the hottest spot to
go out
to.
It's a beautiful venue, lovely location, and it's going to be an exciting time there. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Today. And also in our D&D chat section, we are talking to Rajesh Israni, GM Marketing Asprey Spirits.
Yes, so he's going to share all the details about Negroni Week. What is it all about? When did it start? And how has it been celebrated in India? And how is Asprey gearing up to celebrate the week-long Negroni Week festival in the country? And which is going to be in the different bars and restaurants, like almost 16 bars and restaurants in Bombay, and few of them are in Bangalore, a couple of them are in Delhi. So we'll talk about all that with Rajesh.
Exactly. And on what do we have on the grapevine section today, Rajita?
That's something very interesting. So we're going to talk about Concours Mondial de Brussels, the international wine competition, which is one of my favorite competitions because I go there as a judge every year. This year was my fourth time at the competition, and so we'll talk about that. What exactly happens in a wine tasting competition?
Yeah, and what's
how
it like
is
for
it
a judge, really? You know,
exactly.
Like we know enough about the wines and everything, but what do you really go through? And that experience we are going to talk about. So it's going to be an exciting episode.
Absolutely.
So let's begin with our D&D chat section.
Hi, I'm May, and I'm a huge fan of the indie music scene in our country, a scene that's relatively underground, even though it sometimes speaks its head overground. But there's no shortage of talent, and I get the privilege of interviewing some of the most awesome musicians on my show. I've had the likes of Euphoria, Krish Kale, Hardcore, Randolph Correa. I've had singer-songwriters, folk singers, electronic music producers, playback singers, rappers, fusion artists, instrumentalists, classical musicians, and so on. Whether mainstream or not, these people have chosen to release their original music, and these are the people currently shaping the direction in which our music scene is heading. Join me on my show every Monday and tune in to discover the unique talent coming out of India today. You can catch Made in India on your favorite podcasting app or our very own IVM podcast app.
D&D Chat.
So in our D&D chat section, we have in the studio with us Mr. Rajesh Israni, GM Marketing Asprey Spirits. And he's going to be talking to us about the Negroni Week that's kickstarting.
Yes. Hi, Rajesh.
Thank you so much for letting me be here and talk about the much-awaited Negroni Week. We are equally excited. India started this journey in the year 2015. We didn't do 16 due to some reasons, and we are very excited about being a part of 2017. Just for people that didn't know, we participated for the first time in 2015, and though it took a lot of time to convince outlets what Negroni Week was, but it paid off very successfully with us being ranked number one in Asia.
Wow,
that's great. So yeah. What is the thought behind Negroni Week?
The thought behind Negroni Week is pretty simple and can be summed up the way they do it in three alphabets, which is 7-3-1. Seven is 7 days a week is when this promotion is for. Three are three simple ingredients that go into making a Negroni. Mm-hmm. And one is one simple way to give it back to the society, which is a noble cause. And I believe that this is the only global cocktail program by Campari and Imbibe, which has a very noble cause attached to it. So there are no compulsions that you have to sell X number of Negronis at a price. It's just that you do the classic, you do innovations, and just create more and more awareness about Negroni. And they've seen the difference. So when they started in 2013 with 100 outlets, 2016 ended up with over 65 countries participating, and that number from 100 going to 6,500, of which US is the number one country with more than half number of that number of participating bars. So it is increased over the years, and especially in countries like India, that culture is really catching up and people are really excited to be a part of Negroni Week this year.
And what are your expectations from India this year? Where all are we going to get to see
this? I want to maintain being ranked number one.
That's and, a fair deal.
Yeah. And if you ask me, my wish list is to be in the top five in the world.
Ooh, wow.
So with India, with the number of participating outlets, I don't think my dream is too far, because there is considerable amount of difference between the number one and number two, and I think India can easily achieve this.
So could you name a few of the outlets which have already...
Sure. What is really inspiring, which took up in 2015, is a lot of the group outlets. I mean, one such place that I would clearly like to name is the Harry's Bar and Cafe. So in 2015, they were the first ones to register with 8 outlets pan-India. 2016, even though we didn't have stocks, but they still listed themselves. Mm-hmm. And 2017, as we speak, they were the first ones to register again with 8 outlets. That's if great. I have to see depletions, again, they topped the charts from all participating outlets. And I feel they make a very serious effort, which I think is now trickling down to other outlets also.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we're looking at participation from various cities, even tier 2, 3 or 3 towns, because 15 just had Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we're even looking at cities like Kolkata, Goa, Pune, Chandigarh, Punjab. So hopefully the participation number should be much, much higher this year.
And for people who are looking to head out in Mumbai, could you name a few places where
sure.
they could?
Mumbai, yes, of course, the Harry's, apart from the Harry's Bar and Cafe, we will have outlets like Olive Bar and Kitchen, The Toast, Radio Bar, Terrace, Estella, The Daily, Pali Bhavan. And these are some that have already confirmed. And as we speak, there are many more that are participating on the website.
And what's happening on the 5th evening, like today evening? What's going on at Raspberry Rhinoceros?
Oh, what we're doing this year, which is slightly different, is we said that to make it exciting this year, we thought of a concept of having two people, one a cocktail mixologist guru and an influencer, in three cities and do like a prelude preview evening to the Negroni Week. So what we're doing in Mumbai today is a preview evening for a select audience of beverage media, influencers, consumers, where we will have Rojita Tiwari from Drinks and Destination. And the cocktail mixologist, Nitin Tiwari. So both of them have teamed up. And
both the Tiwaris.
Yeah.
So we are actually
thinking about
a Tiwari square.
A TNT Negroni
TNT,
is something which
yeah.
I feel will come up as a surprise for the evening.
Nice.
So that's in place. And we're looking at replicating the same across Delhi and Bangalore also on a similar format. So yeah, today evening is surely going to be exciting with a lot of people enjoying their Negronis at the fabulous seaside lawns of Raspberry Rhinoceros. And let's have fun.
And all these cocktails, which are going to be made by all the mixologists across the country, they're going to be available in the outlets for 1 week.
They will be featured at their participating venue. Mm-hmm. What most of these outlets do, apart from the classic Negronis, they tend to look at one or two innovative versions. And so if you see across the country, you have, apart from the classic, you have at least one innovative version which every participating outlet tends to feature, which I think creates that differential thing. Because Negroni as it is more of an acquired taste, and for people to kind of enjoy it, they have also kept two or three different versions so that just in case consumers like to try something different. Yeah.
And just for the understanding of people who don't know what Negroni is, it's a mix of Campari, gin and vermouth.
Yes.
And that's what is...
That's the three in the 7-3
yes,
line.
Yes, exactly. And that's what makes it so special, because then Campari has to be there in Negroni, but the other two elements, they can be changed and replaced, or you could add a twist to it. And that's what we are working on.
And it's that's what you're going to be doing today, Rajita,
yes,
later
absolutely.
In the day.
So thank you so much, Rajesh, for being here with us in the studio, and thanks for sharing all the details about Negroni Week. We're very excited as the official podcast partner for Negroni Week India this year, and hope to see you all at one of the outlets listed. And for details, they can log on to the Negroni Week website and find all the information.
They can do that. We will also in some time, across our social media platforms and with Drinks and Destinations being a partner, mention the list everywhere across all our platforms,
yes.
So people would know, and obviously the outlets will also within their social media platforms advertise, so there is going to be a good amount of awareness everywhere for the same.
Alright, so I think we're going to have a smashing Negroni week.
thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Amit Verma, the host of the weekly podcast, The Seen and the Unseen. In my show, I examine the seen effects and the unintended consequences of public policy and private action. I show how policies meant to help the poor often end up hurting the poor. I've done episodes so far on demonetization, GST, surgical strikes, immigration and MRP. And I will continue my forensic assault on the truth in the weeks to come.
Catch the show every Monday on the IVM Podcast app or any other podcasting app that you prefer. Or visit seenunseen.in for all the latest updates.
On the Grapevine.
Welcome back from the break, and that was a lovely chat with Rajesh Israni, GM Marketing Asprey Spirits, and he had some very interesting things to tell us about the Negroni Week, right?
Yeah, all right. And it's also interesting because we are the official podcast partner for the event, and it's going to be interesting to see what's going on in different bars and restaurants and all over the country and the world, and how the Negroni Week actually is going to be celebrated everywhere.
Exactly. I'm feeling like a community spirit. It's happening all over the weekend. Some of the best bars in Bombay, actually, Mumbai are having it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so Rajita, you were at the Concours Mundial de Bruxelles 24th edition in Spain. Now, this is a competition that is very prestigious, right?
Yes, it is. Because obviously it's been, done for such a long time. But there are a lot of other reasons why Concours Mundial de Brussels is one of the world-class competitions, I would say.
Okay.
But before we talk about all that, I just wanted to say that Concours Mundial de Brussels was basically started by, Louis Havu. He is also the father of the current chairman, Baudouin Havot, and who established a communications agency in 1994. And at that time in Brussels, they first started the competition. And later on, the competition started to move to different other wine regions in Europe. And it's been 24 years now. And the 25th edition of the Concours Mondial de Brussels is traveling out of Asia for the first time. Ooh. And it's going to be held at China next year.
And so, obviously, you know, this is a traveling competition. It travels all over the world. And since you have been judging it for a while now, so it's amazing how you also get to travel with this, because, you know, you don't have to go to like this one place every time.
And every time you explore a new wine region as well, which is quite exciting.
But and like this reputation that is that it has, it's obviously prestigious, but being a judge over here, like, you know, they're very strict quality controls and measures that they have. So tell us about that. How nerve-wracking is this for you?
So, yes, we'll talk about that. But before that, I have a short chat with Thomas Kostnoble, who is the oenologist and the director of the Concours Mondial de Brussels competitions. And once we listen to him, then after that, I'm going to talk about my experience in general.
This competition is traveling in some important wine region. This year we are in Spain, in the city of Valladolid, and in the main region called Castilla y León, a very important wine region. And this is probably one of the, and probably the hugest wine tasting organized at once. In a small area, during 3 days, more than 320 tasters are tasting more than 9,000 wines. It's important to participate at a competition like Concours Mondial de Bruxelles, because producers who get a medal really receive an added value. Thanks to the medal, they can reach new markets, because it's a Belgian organization, but the knowledge and the importance, the influence of the Concours Mondial de Bruxelles is worldwide. So with a medal at the competition, you can sell on an easy way wines in different and new markets like China, South Africa, South America, and of course Europe.
So that was Thomas Kostnoble talking about Concours Mondial de Brussels and what really makes it so special. But I have my few points and ideas that I think really makes Concours Mondial one of the best competitions in the world. First, as Thomas mentioned, the number of wines and the kind of judges who judge the competition. So, you know, around 9,000 wines were tasted this year at the competition in Valladolid, Spain.
Wow.
Okay. And out of which there were 2,002 wines only submitted from Spain.
Right. So, and if I'm correct, this is the second time this competition happened in Spain, right?
Yes, I think the previous one year was in Valencia, if I'm not wrong.
But Spanish wines are definitely popular at this competition.
Of course. So, Spain participates in a really big way every year. But because it's a world international competition, so obviously all the wines from around the world, they participate. Unfortunately, no Indian wines yet. So that's sad. But
they have an Indian judge as for now. We'll make do with that.
Yes. So besides me, there were a few other Indian judges as well. But I have been judging at Concours Mondial for last 4 years. The first year was in Brussels. Second year was at Jozolo in Italy, Veneto region. Third was in Bulgaria, Plovdiv, last year. And this year it was at, Valladolid, Spain. But the exciting part is I also judged the competition twice as a president of the panel. So last year was my first time as a president. And we'll talk about the responsibilities of a president and why it's so important. But before that, let's talk about what CMB is and why it's so special. So when we spoke about 9,000 wines, we also need a big number of jury to taste these wines. So there are around 320 judges who were invited this year at the competition, and from all over the world.
So, and there's a conscious decision, right, to like get judges from different geographical locations.
Absolutely. So that everybody has a different palate and different understanding of wines and terroir. And you don't have a bias biased opinion for one particular region. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, that kind of gives an unbiased approach towards wine. Though all the wines are tasted completely blind, but still, because the professionals are, you know, tasting wines on such a regular basis, they can easily make out, you know, which wine is from which region and what grape variety. Maybe not the exact producer or, you know, brand name or anything, but still.
That's why sometimes they have some tricks up their sleeve, which we'll talk about later.
So, and the second reason why the competition is very important is because it travels through a different wine region every year, which means that the judges actually get a chance to explore a new wine region every time they visit. And also the media and, you know, people, they talk about the region that or the country who's hosting the competition, which is a really good thing, I feel, because you know, otherwise people wouldn't talk about wines from Bulgaria, maybe, or they wouldn't talk about just a region like Castellón, which is Valladolid in Spain. You know, though we know Spain as a very good quality wine producing region, especially regions like Rioja, Ribera del Douro, Rueda, Toro, which is a very new wine region that I visited this time. And but still, you know, these places, they need to be talked about, and that actually gives an opportunity for the region, the host country, to also come in limelight, and which is, I think, brilliant. And no other competition in the world actually does that, so that's quite extra exciting.
Yeah.
And the third one, the thing that you were talking about, is that no other competition, I think, keeps a taster's profile, and they don't really scrutinize the kind of tasters that they bring on for these kind of competitions.
Right.
But Concomodel de Brussels does. So they keep a record of all the tasters and the pattern, the way they taste all the wines and how exactly they judge wines and they score them. And for that, the most of the time in a single flight, we usually have 50 wines to taste in a day.
Right.
And the competition starts at around 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning and goes on till 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And that's the only time when we do the tastings and judging and everything. Mm. So usually it takes place in a huge venue, which would actually accommodate so many people. Right. There would be at least 58-60 panels, depending on the number of judges. And each panel would have five members, and one which would include one president.
Okay.
And so the taster's profile is usually maintained because in single flight, suppose you have served 50 wines a day, there would be three or four flights divided, and at least one or two flights would have the same wine being repeated.
Right, and we were talking about it's a very sly thing to do. How does that work out?
So they say that it's not to basically judge you like that, but it's just that to understand how accurate your scoring is, and that's one of the reasons why they put the same wine twice in one flight. Just to see
if that happened to you. Did you like go through that? Or could you figure?
Every time that happens, because it's a regular thing, you know. It's so later on, after the competition is of that day is over, we are handed over a sheet of paper with the names of the wine that we tasted. So while tasting the wines, we are also given another sheet without names, just the vintage and the flight number and everything. So you can put your scores there, and you can later on, once you get the list, you can see that and tally, and you know that, you know, if you've scored the same wine, the same score, or it's like a huge contrast between.
So are there incidents when some judges never come back?
Yes, there have been quite a few of them.
Wow.
So I was talking to the organizers, and they said that every year we focus on getting maybe 10 to 15% new judges.
Right.
60% is usually the, you know, wine writers, journalists, consultants like that. But there are also people who never come back.
Of course.
So it's
an extremely stringent process, and you know, so everyone can have their lapse of judgment.
Exactly. So that's one of the reasons why I really like this competition. And obviously the fourth one would be the scrutiny of the wines. I mean, the wines which are actually submitted for the competition. Sometimes, you know, competitions are known as places where, you know, producers would keep a different stash of their wines to send only to these kind of events, and just to win medals. And and those wines may not be the ones which are available for the consumers in the market. So what Concomondial IVML does is keeps few bottles of the wine that enters the competition in their warehouse in Brussels.
Okay.
And few bottles are brought to the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So I was told that, you know, sometimes they randomly pick up the same wines from the retail store and they try and compare.
Oh.
To the wine which was entered for the competition.
Which is a great thing, I think, because
absolutely.
You know, if it's happening in the competitions,
yeah.
So that they've
already had an incident where the producer has been banned from entering into the competition because there was, you know, problem with the wine which was available on the retail store.
Obviously, two different wines were served.
Exactly.
Oh, controversial.
See, that's another thing. And one more thing. Hmm. You know, once you are a part of the CMB family, you would always love to be a part of it because you have 300 judges coming from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You get to meet so many people, you get to interact, you know, it's a great place for networking and you make such great friends and then suddenly and the organizers, the entire team, they're so nice to all the jury members and the kind of friendly attitude that everyone has. So there's the competition is between the wines but not between the people who participate in the event. So that's quite an exciting thing.
And also, like, what's the criteria to get the jury members on board? Like, we know the criteria for the wines, but like, what was the criteria?
So as I mentioned, there has to be like a maximum amount of juries have to be either journalists, wine writers, or influencers or bloggers or people who have been in the industry for a very long time, who have a good understanding and reputation. And second is the wine consultants or wine buyers and, you know, people who are involved in the wine trade.
Right.
And third are people who are, in a way, like, you know, have some connection to wine, maybe some producers, but not the producers whose wines have entered in the competition.
Okay.
So that there is no biasness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they divide it. But mostly it's totally on the reputation of the jury member. So there's a big background check that happens once they get a reference of a particular jury member, new person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they evaluate and then they decide, and depending on the country where the competition is taking place. So you would find more number of people from the host country most of the time.
Okay.
But that totally depends. It depends on the organizers. They decide actually every year. That's quite interesting. And so this year, as I mentioned, that there were 9,000 wines which entered from 50 countries.
Whoa.
Yeah. And Spain.
Please
had
don't tell me you tasted all of them.
No. So I tasted around 150 wines in 3 days. Yeah, because we were tasting 50 wines every day. But besides that, after the competition was over, we used to travel to the wine regions in Valladolid area.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, I visited the Rueda and Toro region, which is beautiful. Toro is one of the oldest regions in Valladolid area and in Spain. And it's also famous because there was a famous war between Portugal and Spain that took place in the banks of Toro, the river in Toro region.
Mm-hmm.
And so we visited that region. We tasted a lot of wines there. We
after the whole day of like judging and tastings, really, you guys.
Yes, it's a tough job. I'm telling you, it just sounds
then
really
fancy.
Then we
hit the bar and get some beer.
After all that drinking, we always look for a beer bar.
I can imagine from 9,000 wines and tasting like 150 in about a week or something. How many days is it?
3 days.
Three
so
days,
150
yeah.
And wines in 3 days. That's only for you know, judging. And then later on, obviously, you are still drinking wines the whole day.
Yeah.
So 2002 wines were presented by Spain this year, which is like a big number. And the main prevailing part was from Castilla y León, which was the region where we were there. And obviously, the main grape varieties were Tempranillo and Mencia in that region. And the white grape was Verdejo.
Okay.
So that's the very popular one. And there were also, interestingly, 118 of organic and biodynamic Spanish wines which entered the competition this year.
Yeah, I saw like a huge category of organic wines and
those
are extremely popular.
I'm very happy because I'm a big fan of organic and biodynamic wines. And so I was really happy that the competition is actually acknowledging the people who are making organic and biodynamic wine.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's getting becoming a like huge trend all over the world. So it was nice to see.
And the best win that a wine gets is the grand gold medal, right? And then there's the gold and the silver.
Yes, absolutely. And as we were talking about the roles and responsibilities of a president, so usually before you go for the competition, Thomas sends the president a list of duties. Yes, exactly. So I'll tell you what all we have to keep in mind.
Sounds like summer camp for you guys.
So these things have to be kept in mind. First is keeping a track of the time. Because
very important,
which is absolutely really important. Yeah. You are the timekeeper basically, you know? And you have four other people to manage. And
that's the thing with events. Like when I'm hosting events, the one thing they tell me is like, please keep a track of time because it can just go on all day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially when you have a really bad wine or a good wine, and you have to, you have four other people in the panel, and they would be like, oh no, I think this wine is corked. You would be like, maybe it's not corked, but maybe it's the style of the wine. And then few other people would start discussing more and more. Yeah. And the moment you start discussing that and it goes on for a long period of time, then you have lost track of time, and then you are never going to finish your tasting by 1 o'clock. And to keep everything running smoothly, the president has to be the one, the bad one or the good one.
You have to play good cop, bad cop all the time.
So you'd have two people in the panel who would always be giving really bad scores to wines, and they would not want to really calibrate their palates and to really even consider some wines, even if they are good enough to be in a, you know, to get a little higher score. So there's, you know, these kind of disagreements, it keeps happening in all the panels. So I have experienced that already for the second time. So that's what you have to do. A second is to manage the tasting sessions with due diligence and check that the wine presented for tasting is the same as the one on the sheet to be filled in. Right. So they give us because it's a blind tasting, they just have a number, the flight number. So every time the wine is served to everyone, the first pour is to the president. You check it, you check the wine if it's correct or not, and then it goes to everyone else.
Okay.
So that's one. Third is, you, because you're the president, you can't impose your views on the other panel members because they're also very experienced people who are in your panel. So
that's where the discussion comes in, like when you think like
a wine is corked. So you all have to agree on a certain point somewhere, come to conclusion that whether you want to give a medal, whether you don't want to give a medal, and if it's the, if the wine is corked, then whether you want a second bottle of the wine to try, and the, then the president has to fill a proper form and give it to the sommelier who's serving you. And then that person is going to bring another bottle. So it's like a long process. And so, it's really not
over
easy.
Over the years, is there, do you feel like there are a lot of differences in opinion, or everyone's kind of like has a similar opinion, like this is good and this is bad, or
so
they're varied opinions?
Last year I had a mix of jury members. There was just another girl from Europe and a couple of other jury members, and they were almost the same experience as mine. This year I had people in my panel who were coming to CMB for the 11th time, someone else for the 7th time or 9th time, and so obviously they were, you know, they maybe they were a little skeptical on the first day when they saw me, like, oh, she is the president and how is she going to do all that. And so I had to tell them that don't worry guys, this is the second time I'm doing it. So that was, in a way, quite interesting. But nice. I, we got along
various
quite well.
Various dynamics happening with the judges there. I mean, as complex as the wine is, so is the judges panel, I would say.
I know. Then you have to try and maintain optimum concentration levels among your panel members. Because, you know, you have friends and they walk in, they start talking to you, and then you have like, then other guys would be talking, then people would be taking photographs. There's too much of distraction going on around you, but you have to be just careful and maintain that. You have to hand over the envelopes of all the sheets of the jury members once the scoring is done, which is a humongous task because you have to keep taking the score sheets from all the members and then just put it in. Then you have, though, as I mentioned, if a wine is oxidized or there is a re-fermentation of the bottle, or maybe a corked wine is served, then if you're saying it's rejected, you have to fill out a form and mention it that this is being rejected and why. So you have to give proper explanation to when you are rejecting wine, because there is someone who is paying a lot of money to enter into the competition, and then obviously,
and it's a heartbreaking thing for the wine makers also, right?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
For their wine to
so
be
you have
rejected
to keep that
so they
in
have
mind.
To know why.
And then obviously you have to strictly limit the use of telephone and computers because if people end up using a lot of the phones, and the phone kills a lot of time, and then obviously it's a problem for to finish the work on time. And so they also maintain a lot of secrecy when it comes to the wines and brands being served, because later on they are handed over the list of wines. So we are asked not to share this with anyone else. The list is not given to anyone else till the time the results are announced. 1 week after the event, it's announced.
I'm surprised in the do's and don'ts. I know you all are very experienced and are judges, but there's no like, don't drink too much, or last year that judge was drunk. Have you ever witnessed that? Like,
someone
got a little over the top with their...
That's exactly why it's important to have a background check of all the judges.
Right.
And most of the people who come there, at least I have seen, you know, they don't get drunk while... judging wines.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, you're required to focus so much.
Not possible.
Yeah. And everyone just enjoys the process. Even if it's like a lot of hard work, still we all have a lot of fun also. I mean, it's quite interesting. And because next year, 2018, is going to be in China, I think I'm very excited because for the first time, CMB will be taking place in Asia.
Right.
And I'm quite looking forward to that.
I know after the whole Europe and being in like Spain and all these places, like it's going to be such a different experience for everyone who's going to be visiting.
Absolutely.
It,
right? So that's all for today, guys, and hopefully you enjoyed the episode today. Samira and I had a good time. Did you learn something? Judge a wine competition?
I did. How to judge, what to do, what not to do, and how much I'm looking forward to the Negroni week.
Absolutely.
All of that.
Yeah. You can tune in to the Drinks and Destinations podcast on the IVM podcast app or any other podcast app. You can also give your reviews and suggestions on drinksanddestinations@gmail.com. Also tune in to our next episode on every fortnight. And while we all love our tipple, make sure that you drink
responsibly. Bye.
Excuse me, bhaiya.
बोले मैडम,
मेन्यू में क्या है?
मेन्यू में सीन अनसीन है, पॉडकास्ट है, ऑन कोर्स है, साइरस है, मेड इन इंडिया, रीडिस्कवरी प्रोजेक्ट, एम्पावरिंग सीरीज, सेक्स वेक्स है, आईवीएम लाइक्स है, सिंप्लीफाइड है, कीपिंग इट क्वियर है, ड्रिंक्स एंड डेस्टिनेशंस है, माय नेबर ज़करबर्ग है, और द फैन गैराज है. आपको क्या चाहिए?
एक बार रिपीट कर देंगे क्या?
रिपीट नहीं करता हम. आप जाओ IVMPodcast.com पे और सुनो ये सब, या फिर डाउनलोड करो उनका ऐप. सब आपकी उंगलियों पे.